You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, Episode 10. In today's episode, we're going to answer the question, how is it that saints in heaven can hear our prayers on earth? And thank you for tuning into the Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to take their faith to the next level. My goal today is to answer the question, how is it that saints who are in heaven can hear our prayers? You know, our Protestant friends object to the praying to saints. Of course, God can hear all of our prayers. He knows all of our thoughts all the time because He is God, right? And so one of the hard questions for us to answer is, well, how is it that St. Anthony, who's in heaven, can hear you asking help to find your car keys? That seems a little ridiculous, and it seems strange that a man in heaven would be able to hear that. So we're going to talk about the theology on how it is that saints in heaven can hear our prayers. Before that, I just want to say a word about the new St. Thomas Institute. I know many of you that listen to this podcast are members, and I want to thank you for that. Things have been going really well, and we put up a video course today on the seven deadly sins, and we give you a way to memorize the seven deadly sins. We go through all the daughters of the seven deadly sins. That's right, the daughters. Thomas Aquinas explains that each of the seven deadly sins has daughters, offspring, and that by looking at these patterns, we can see which sins we struggle with most. So if you're a member, please go over there today and check it out, our new video course on the seven deadly sins. And if you're not a member, but you would like to become a member, it's very easy. Just go over to newstthomas.com. Saint is spelled out, newstthomas.com. And you can sign up and start taking our online courses, distance ed, and you can watch all the courses at your own leisure and time. There are no schedules or deadlines. It's just how you want to learn, when you want to learn. So check it out. Okay, and we'll begin this week with the proverb of the week. And it's one of my favorites. I've memorized it when I was a teenager. In fact, I was at a summer camp. It was a Christian camp. And there's this really high ropes course, which was terrifying. And they had Bible verses stapled up on the poles really high. And I remember at one point being a little afraid and looking up and seeing this proverb stapled to the telephone pole up high. And it's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. And it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We have to be careful not to lean on our own understanding. Our own understanding can lead us in the wrong way. Instead, we should submit all of our ways to God, and He will make our paths straight. No matter what we do in planning our goals or planning out our life, we have to submit it all to His will and know that He, if we're following His will make it straight, will make it right. And that leads to our tip of the week. Our tip of the week this week is the one-year goal. We've talked about goals before. Goals are your dreams set to a timeline, right? You have to have a timeline for it to be a goal. And the goal of this goal is to trust your ways to the Lord so that He will make your paths straight. And the great thing about a one-year goal is that it's short. A 10-year goal, a 50-year goal, the further out you get, the harder it is to plan for. But a one-year goal is something attainable. So get out a sheet of paper and write one-year goal. And then write down, just sort of open up your heart and dump it on that paper. Write down as many things that come to mind. All right, maybe it's prayerfully try to be married or have a child or get a new working position or finish seminary, whatever it might be, pour it out there. It might be smaller things such as, I'd really like to write a book. I'd really like to start a blog. I'd really like to start a podcast. I'd really like to study the New Testament. I'd really like to start a small group. I'd really like to start learning Latin or French or whatever it is, and write all those down. And then once you have them all down, pick which ones are the most important to you. And then you're going to subdivide that and break it down into 1 month goal. And this is going to be your goal for the month. So, for example, if your goal is to write a book, you're going to now create a 30-day goal. And you're going to put things in the 30-day goal to enable you to accomplish the writing of the book. For example, write the table of contents and the first chapter in 30 days. And this way, as you break it up, it doesn't seem like such a huge task, right? Writing a book is a huge task. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of labor. But writing a table of contents, not that big a deal. Even if the table of contents is completely wrong and you end up scrapping it 9 months from now, you at least started with something. Same goes with the first chapter. Just write the first chapter. Get it on some paper. Get it on your computer. And if you need to change it, fine. But guess what? At least you have something. And you have to move like this. You take the big goal, the 1 year, and you slice it up into the smaller ones. And you just begin to break away at it. The other thing that I would recommend and I would challenge you to do is to invest in tools, resources, and education along the way. For example, if you're going to write a book, get to know someone who's written books or read about becoming an author or find a podcast on how to write. Do some things that kind of spur you on, make you think about it, right? Create some accountability to do it. And I think over time, as you take these one-year goals and chop them into 12 parts, you'll begin to see some real progress in whatever your goals are. Okay, so that's the tip of the week. It's kind of long. It's the one-year goal broken up into 12 steps. And now we'll go to our featured segment, How Is It That Saints in Heaven Can Hear Us on Earth? Well, you may have noticed that my voice is a little different this week. I've had a head cold, and my head is full of congestion, so I'm a little bit nasal this week. Hope you'll look past that. Let's look at our featured segment. How is it that saints can hear us in heaven? Imagine you're in the dentist chair. You're about to have a tooth extracted or something terrible. And as a Catholic, you lift up a prayer to the patron saint of tooth troubles, Saint Apollonia. St. Apollonia. How is it that St. Apollonia in heaven hears you thinking or speaking? Maybe you have your mouth full of gauze so you can't say anything with your mouth, but you think, St. Apollonia, please pray for me. How is it that she in heaven can hear that? She's not God. She's not omniscient. She's not all-knowing, right? And yet, for some reason, we Catholics believe that those saints in heaven can hear not only our words, but even our thoughts. The Feast of All Saints is coming up next week, so this is the perfect time to hone in on this topic and make sure we understand it, make sure we can defend our faith for those who ask questions. Now, we know that praying for one another and asking for the saints to pray for us is really no different than me saying to Joy, hey, sweetie, will you please pray for me? I'm preparing a lecture for tomorrow's class, and I'm really behind. Please pray for me. And she says, I'll pray for you. Right? I'm asking her to make an intercession through Jesus Christ to God the Father on my behalf. Right? And so it makes perfect sense that I could do the same thing with St. Peter. I could say, St. Peter, I have a big lecture tomorrow. Please pray for me. And St. Peter in heaven, we'll take that intercession and give it to Christ, who will in turn mediate it to God the Father. Okay, so that's a pretty standard apologetic answer for when people say, well, why do you pray to saints, right? We say, well, it's just like praying for each other. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. But that still doesn't address the main topic of today's featured segment, and that is, well, even if that's the case, how is it that the saints in heaven can even hear what we're thinking or saying? Now, you might want to say, well, we're in the mystical body of Christ. Through baptism, through faith, through hope, through charity, we are all united to Christ. And because we're all united to Christ, we're all related to each other. We're all brothers and sisters. And so when I say, St. Anthony, pray for me, or St. Apollonia, or St. Peter, pray for me, that prayer request passes through the body of Christ up to the head, Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good apologetical answer. The problem with it is it doesn't work for those who are on earth. For example, I can't just use my mind powers to send a prayer request to a Christian who's living in Australia, right? I can't make a spiritual cell phone call with my soul to a soul in Australia, right? So the body of Christ doesn't work like that here on earth. So we need to find a better answer. How is it that the saints in heaven can hear us? Now, the answer comes in part through St. Augustine. St. Augustine, in one of his sermons, in fact, if you want to look it up, it's Sermon 267, he says, "What the soul is in our body, that is the Holy Spirit in Christ's body." So this reaffirms what we just said, that all of us are bound together in the body of Christ, which is the church, and the Holy Spirit is the soul of the church. It keeps it alive, and it keeps it moving. Now, this would entail that there could be some kind of communication from one member to the other. In other words, that we would be able to communicate to each other and that the other could communicate back to us. And the way in which that happened, oh, and by the way, not only as Catholics, not only do we believe that we can ask intercessions of saints, we also have a very long tradition of saints communicating back to us on earth. That's right. It's a two-way street. It's not only that we pray to saints, it's that saints communicate to us. And we find this even in the early church. St. Gregory of Nyssa, I'm going to read this quote. St. Gregory of Nyssa is speaking about St. Gregory the Illuminator, a great saint, and how St. Gregory the Illuminator received an apparition from St. John the Apostle. I'll read it to you. "He heard the one who had appeared in womanly form, exhorting John the Evangelist to explain to the young man the mystery of the true faith. John, in his turn, declared that he was completely willing to please the Mother of our Lord, even in this matter, and that this was the one thing closest to his heart. And so the discussion coming to a close, and after they had made it quite clear and precise for him, the two disappeared from his sight." End quote. So what happened here is the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, appears with St. John to St. Gregory the Illuminator. By the way, this is one of the oldest apparitions of the Blessed Mother, right? This is before Constantine, right? This is really old. And St. John appears, and he explains theological mysteries to St. Gregory, right? So here's an account of a saint communicating to a Christian who is still on earth. Now, the way this happens is through the beatific vision. That's a big phrase there. You've probably heard it before. The beatific vision is the reality that the saints experience in heaven. The whole glory and joy of heaven is to be able to have the vision, the knowledge of God in his essence. Not God as he's hidden in the Blessed Sacrament, or mediated through the Bible or through tradition, but to have direct access to God. St. Thomas Aquinas calls it being deiform, in the form of God. We are united to God in such a mystical way that we who are finite are able to have a vision of his infinite essence. It's amazing. Picture it like this. It's like seeing God and all knowledge, all of God's knowledge. It's like a giant movie screen that you're looking at, but the movie screen has no edges. It goes out forever. The greater measure of your sanctity, the greater your vision. The Blessed Virgin Mary, who's the highest of all human saints, has the greatest vision of God's divine essence. So all the saints and all the angels who are in heaven have this beatific vision of God's divine essence. And as they look into God's divine essence, they have a share in God's omniscience. Omniscience is just a fancy word for all knowing. God knows all things. And so they're able to look into God's essence and see his knowledge. And this is how the saints in heaven can hear us. In fact, this is how the saints in heaven can see us and see our thoughts. They are united mystically to God. They can look into his divine essence like a giant movie screen with no edges going out forever. And if we say, Saint Apollonia, pray for me, Saint Apollonia, who's looking into God's divine essence, can see that reality on earth and hear us. Same with Saint Anthony. Saint Anthony, I can't find my car keys. I'm late for an appointment. Please pray for me. Help me. Saint Anthony can see and hear that request through the divine essence of God, and he can help you, right? Through the divine essence of God. Just as he can tap into God's all-knowing, he can also work through God's omnipotence, his all-power, right? And so God has incorporated the saints and the angels into his own mystical life, into his own mystical vision of his divine essence. He's incorporated us as prophets and priests and kings. Not only, well, we don't have it in this life. We only participate in it in a lower way. But when we get to heaven, and if we go to purgatory, and after we get through purgatory, we have access to beatitude through the beatific vision. Perfect happiness because we are perfectly united to God. That is a huge mystery, and it's very exciting. It makes me really want to persevere and get to heaven and be with God in that intimate way. And also, once we're in heaven, we continue to have a ministry of charity. We continue to help in the works of mercy. God allows us, once we're in heaven with him, to have even a greater ministry with our brothers and sisters who are back on earth. It's a beautiful, beautiful mystery. So don't be afraid to ask saints to help you out. They can hear you, and they are willing to help you because they have access to the divine essence of God, and God actually wants them to participate in helping you out. That's the great mystery of the incarnation, that Christ came to establish his body, which incorporates all of those who love him, hope in him, and trust in him. So there's the answer. If you have any more questions, leave a comment down below this podcast. And now we'll move on to our Latin word of the week and a few announcements. Well, we've got a great Latin word of the week. Before we get to that, we'll go through our announcements. A lot of people have written and they're interested in learning more about logic. They've never taken a class on logic, how to think correctly, and especially to learn all the logical fallacies. So I've been writing and recording several video courses on an introduction to logic, and we are posting the first two in the next couple weeks in the new St. Thomas Institute. So if you're a member, you'll get those. If you're not, you can sign up and still get them. Try to sign up by this Friday, though. The tuition is going to be going up pretty soon, and we want to get everybody in by Friday. Also, some people have asked for courses on how to pronounce Latin and the basics of learning Latin. And so we're also going to be putting together over the next month courses on how to pronounce and get a beginner's introduction to Latin also in the new St. Thomas Institute. So if you're interested in those videos, those will all come as a bonus to those of you that sign up. And if you're already a member, don't worry, you'll get the bonuses as well. On November 21st, we'll have our Catinas. These are study groups all over the country and all over the world, studying St. Thomas Aquinas, but other topics as well. This is, again, sponsored by the new St. Thomas Institute, but it doesn't cost anything. And for those interested, I'll be organizing the Catena for the new St. Thomas Institute in North Texas, here in Dallas-Fort Worth, and that'll be November 21st, here and everywhere. So stay tuned and look at the Institute forums for more information on that. Again, if you're new to this podcast, the new St. Thomas Institute's online courses, you can just go to newstthomas.com, and check it out, see if it's right for you. Let's take a look at our Latin word of the week. This is a good one. We use it, or a form of it, in English a lot. It's hostia. Hostia, with the H at the beginning. Hostia. It's the Latin word for a victim, a sacrifice, or a sacrificed animal. This is the victim in ritual sacrifice. We refer to the host in the Eucharist because of this word hostia. Christ is the victim. Christ is the sacrifice on Calvary, on the cross for our sins. If Jesus didn't die on the cross, we would not have forgiveness of sins. So Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the hostia, the sacrificial victim for human redemption. Now, some people confuse this word with another. So in the Mass, we say, Lord God of hosts. Now, the word host here is different from host as in the Eucharistic hosts, the little circular pieces of bread that transubstantiate into the substance of Jesus Christ. That's the hostia, right? That is the sacrificial victim. When we say Lord God of hosts, here we're referring to a different Latin word that sounds similar, which is hostis, hostis, which means an army, a company of soldiers. So when we say Lord God of hosts, we're talking about God surrounded by the armies of his angels, right? Like the church as a military expedition, God surrounded by his ministers of justice. So when we say Lord God of hosts, we're referring to the Latin word hostis, and we refer to Jesus Christ as the Eucharistic victim, we're referring to hostia, hostia, okay? So two different words there, two different meanings. Hey, if you've enjoyed today's podcast, and if you're new, please subscribe to the podcast. You'll get it every week. It comes out every Wednesday, and by subscribing on iTunes, it'll just automatically upload to your iPhone or your Android or your mobile device. And also, if you enjoy this podcast, it'd really mean the world to me if you would rate it on iTunes. If you have it in your heart to give a 5-star, that would be great, or whatever you think this podcast is worth. If you rate it, it helps people find it in the search engines over there at iTunes. So I thank all of you who have left a comment and have rated it so generously. I really do thank you. So, as we say every week, our Lord Jesus Christ said that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty.